We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
It's not the wine and cheese and ceviche and charcuterie crowd of the Chase Center in San Francisco. Right. This is steak tips, chowder, and profanity. So shut up and stop telling Boston how to Boston. Boston will take care of itself and do what Boston does.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
And he swings it. It's one high to right center field. Zimmer moving back in front of the track. Has it lined up. Makes the catch. And the ball game is over, and so is the Red Sox 7-game win streak.
Andy Gresh.
Everything in this division can pitch. Everything in this division, they can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and it's going to be a grind. You know, we're going to be banging hits for the rest of the season, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing.
Rich Keefe.
Kyrie Irving opts back into his deal in Brooklyn. They could still trade him, but it wouldn't come with a contract extension elsewhere. So there's still ways for he and the Nets to part.
Gresh and Keefe right now.
Not to brag, but this is just true. After yes. I got my wisdom teeth taken out, like a few hours later, I had a turkey club sandwich.
On WEEI.
Well, I feel the way Connor Siebold pitched last night.
Look who's back.
There you go. John with the, you'll be gone all week.
No, you're back. I knew you'd be back. I knew you'd be back.
You never doubted.
I never said you'd be back pain-free.
That's a smart move.
I mean, there was a comment after the show yesterday, off the air, that Rich said about casting some doubt upon Gresh coming back.
Well, I said, Fitzy, be ready, is all I said. Just in the spirit of things, I said, hey, Fitzy, you got your Comrex. Make sure if we, keep your phone on, basically, is what I said.
No question.
I'm not shocked.
It's kind of like unvaccinated pitchers that can't pitch in Toronto. Well, and then you have to bring up Connor Siebold and,
leadoff hitters or.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about leadoff hitters and things like that. Yeah. There we go.
Connor Siebold didn't have it.
He did not.
Last night.
Some of the numbers that are coming out on the American League East now, like the crappy Baltimore Orioles since May 19th have been like 10 or 11 games over 500, and you'd never know it.
This division is unlike any other division in baseball. That's for sure.
Now, Dave Roberts will argue with you. The manager of the Dodgers was trying to sell that, everybody talks about the AL East, but look at our division.
You have the Rockies and the Diamondbacks.
Bingo, friend.
So I can't really put you on that same level just yet. But, this is one of the things that they early on in the year, the Red Sox played a lot of AL East teams. And you weren't sure, were they losing because the AL East was really good, or the Red Sox just kind of scrambling and they were kind of finding themselves. But then when they went on this big winning streak and when they dominated the month of June, it was not AL East teams, right?
No.
They smoked the AL West. Then they had the Guardians sweep. They took care of Detroit. Like all those teams, they were able to handle. But in the division, which they have a million games between now and the All-Star break in the division, we're probably going to learn a whole lot about this team.
I agree, and that's where kind of the rubber meets the road, right? Because right now the Red Sox, as we speak, are second in the American League East, which we probably wouldn't have predicted at the end of the month of April.
No.
But you're right. Now they're going to start to cannibalize themselves. And does the rest of the American League, are they able to respond? Or are these teams who have the big leads right now, namely the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the wild card, even if you're Toronto and Tampa, you got to feel pretty good about your positions right now. Is there one team that takes a dump, or does this become a bunch of 500 baseball across the board to where all these AL East teams can kind of survive?
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at it, because the Red Sox right now, after last night's loss, are 7-15 in the division.
Not good.
And then they have winning records everywhere else. And in fact, looking at the whole AL East, three out of five have a winning record against the Central. Four out of five have a winning record against the West. All of them are 500 or better in interleague. Right. So you take the AL East and you put them anywhere else, they're dominating teams.
Yep.
And then they're all beating each other. The Yankees have a great, great record in the division. And then Toronto and Tampa are right around 500. So is even Baltimore. They're 15-19. Like, they're right there for as bad as they are. So the Red Sox, that's the only thing that's really holding them back, is the record against these other teams, which they're going to have to improve on.
Yeah, and how do they do that? Well, hopefully having the full cast so that you're not bringing up the Connor Seabolds of the world.
True.
And look, I don't know about you. Like, I can't kill the guy.
Seabolds?
No, yeah. I mean, that's not a bad spot. Yeah. You're on the road against a team that, quite honestly, you and I thought were going to be better than the record indicates.
I thought the Blue Jays were going to win the division going into the year. I like them more than the Yankees.
And I thought they would rake, but I flipped on the game last night after waking up and trying to take a nap and hoping my headache would go away, which didn't happen. No. You know, and then I heard Alex Speer on there. It's like some baseball Somonex flipping on the game, for God's sake.
Stats.
Well, you know what I did? I just I just muted the TV and went right to the call that we had here on WEEI to be able to watch and kind of piece it all together and all that. And like, you see Vlad Guerrero, 17 homers, 43 RBI. Not a bad year. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing
up
him.
Up to 18 now.
But we thought that guy was going to, you know, maybe hit 50 bombs this year. And it doesn't seem like that's exact. I don't know if that's exactly going to work itself out.
No.
But we thought offensively, Toronto showed it a little bit last night. But then again, Red Sox are a factor in that. But can you help me understand, why is Kevin Gausman good all of a sudden? Or is it just a Red Sox thing?
No, it's not just a Red Sox thing. They talked about this a lot on the broadcast, too. I know you muted it, but they were discussing how in Baltimore, even Baltimore admitted they didn't know what they were doing with him. And I guess they would say, hey, only throw your fastball low. Like, don't even try to throw a high fastball. And they said only throw your sinker or your split finger, whatever it was, when you're up like 0-2. So they like completely like changed, which all seems dumb.
That doesn't
even
feel right.
Like, why would you do that? And they don't know.
Well,
and so I think it was 5 years in Baltimore, and he had an ERA of like 4.22. So not trash, but just very average player. And then since then, this guy has been next level. It almost reminds me, it was a Jake Arrieta who was like really, it took him a long time to be nasty, and
that's
then he was
call.
Filthy for a few years, and then whatever. So I feel like Gausman's in that same kind of group.
Yeah, it's got to be more than just the change of scenery. And I'm not saying he's out there sticky balling it up or anything, but there's something different about the guy, or at least he's been killing the Red Sox. One of our Twitch chatters, good morning to the Twitch chat, by the way, WEEI, it's twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, and of course the texture's 37937. But one of the Twitchers is like 3-0 with a 0.00 ERA and three starts against us.
Yeah, he's
but he
good.
Did say 3-6, 3.87 against everybody else. But still, even if that is the, I didn't check those numbers, but even if that is the case, that's still a pretty good ERA, and Toronto has been very much up and down offensively. So, I look at Gausman and think, okay, that's a guy we don't want to mess with very much. The overall numbers might not blow people away, but good Lord, every time we've seen him,
he's been nasty.
He's just been killing people. By the way, Sox Talk on Gresh and Keefe is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Book your appointment today to start your weight loss journey. Awaken180weightloss.com. The other big news of the day, I guess we call it big news, is that Kyrie Irving officially opts into staying with the Brooklyn Nets.
It's the best.
It really is.
It's so good to me. Like, I love all of this crap because Kyrie Irving, and again, he thought he was a part of the front office. He was like, we're going to be here for the long haul. Like, all this stuff that Kyrie Irving said, he chose to go to Brooklyn, signed his deal, has missed more games than he's actually played for Brooklyn in those 3 years. And he opted in. Now, to really think about what that means, nobody opts in. Like, unless you are Russell Westbrook or John Wall and you are owed over $40 million and your best is way behind you.
I can't believe you just uttered that sentence. Sorry, I have to fathom that.
Nobody
unless they're going to get rid of you for $40 million. Jesus.
Gordon Hayward, who missed a ton of time with the Celtics and really wasn't great, opted out and cashed in. Al Horford, who we thought at that point was even old then, opted out of what would have been a ton of money, opted out and made even more. Kyrie Irving opting in is just proof that nobody wants him. Nobody wants Kyrie Irving. And it's amazing because talent usually wins out in all sports, not just in the NBA. But I think there's just been enough red flags with this guy. It ended poorly in Cleveland. It ended poorly in Boston. And it was about to end poorly in Brooklyn. So, sure, would the Lakers have taken him? Yes. But they weren't going to give him this max deal, I don't think. And then certainly the Nets weren't going to just take Russell Westbrook back or take any of this crap in return. So him opting into a $36.5 million deal, when a guy like Bradley Beal is ultimately going to sign, what, like a $250 million deal?
$248 for 5 years.
And you can make a case Irving, just again, side by side, is a better player than Beal.
No question.
But because you can't rely on the guy at all, you don't know where his head's at on any given day, he decides to opt back in, and then in classic Kyrie fashion, has this statement about how, you know, normal people do.
In fact, John, please. We must dim the lights Kyrie Irving.
So good. Billy, hit the lights, please.
Normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall. Shut
so
up.
So he's the guy, and I'm sure I've been this person in the past. But
no,
you know,
you're aware of who you are.
The guy who has no idea that the joke is on him and that everybody's laughing at him.
Thank you.
Again, maybe a time in my life I was that guy. But Kyrie Irving is literally like the whole league, fans around the world are laughing at this guy, and he has no clue. He has no clue about it, and he's thinking, this is this big sign. The Brooklyn fans are going to be thrilled. This is what I'm doing. He can't admit defeat. The Brooklyn Nets said no. Because they're like, hey, I would like a max deal. He and his agent probably, like, I would like a max deal. They're like, no. And then he's like, well, and then they even told him, go ahead, find a sign and trade. Nothing.
No,
nothing. So he opts in. Nobody opts in. I'm telling you, nobody in the NBA. There's so much money to be had, and Kyrie Irving had to opt in. Talk about tucking your tail. And I know he's going a different direction. He's like, apparently he's not a normal person, and he's going to change the world. He's going to do something different. Yeah, that is pretty different. Nobody in their prime opts into a contract.
There's no doubt that guy, I mean, the world has spoken on him. He hasn't figured it out yet. His ears aren't on.
No.
He's not ready to accept the message. You know, for anybody who's ever been in rehab and then eventually into recovery, there's the whole, well, the first step of admitting you have a problem is admitting you have a problem.
He would never.
Never. Nothing. And,
he would
and,
never.
And you know, they crucified Martin Luther King.
They did. That's right. And again, he's the voice of the voiceless. So
he
shouldn't have come back and played. But then again,
until he wasn't.
And now the Nets are basically banking on, oh, he's in a contract year. He'll be on his best behavior. Really?
The only reason why they're probably not freaking out about it is because this should at least keep Kevin Durant there for another year. I would think. Right, unless Kevin Durant has enough, but it seems like he's one of the few guys that actually likes Kyrie with those statements that, you know, he was upset the front office didn't get to know him or whatever and all this other stuff. But for them to have him for 1 year, at least you're not committing five more seasons to this guy.
I saw a graphic of a quote from Kevin Durant where he referred to himself as a god.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
What?
They've lost themselves.
And you know what? Every time I'm like, Durant's not that bad. Durant's not that bad. And then I see a quote and I'm like, dude, get him away. I don't want him. I allowed myself, I think it was like Thursday or Friday, to be like, hey, you know what? Maybe Kevin Durant would fit here. Then I see that quote and I'm like, nope, forget about it.
We don't want
any of that. However, even on the low end, though, that means the Brooklyn Nets are probably a 500 team. Like, if Kyrie actually plays a full year and Kevin Durant actually plays a full year, they might have trash around them.
Right.
But they should be 41-41 on the low end. And therefore, it's, oh, do we have to deal with these asshats come playoff time?
Yeah, I mean, they'll be a playoff team just because the two talent. But again, we saw it in the first round this year. And I think that's what you would expect. If Brooklyn played Boston or Milwaukee in the playoffs, I wouldn't give them a chance at all. Now, some of these other teams, maybe Durant
like Chicago, the Stars might be able to carry him to a win for a round.
They're also going to have to figure out how to use Ben Simmons, which I think also could make the whole season go sideways. Oh yeah, they're a great soap opera, the Brooklyn Nets.
They really are. Yeah. They are the NBA's number one soap opera. Mm-hmm. But of course, the Celtics have to add to their team. We will get to some of that a little bit later on, and of course, a bunch of you at 617-779-7937. Julian Edelman was trying to do his best Cool Hand Luke on the I Am Athlete pod. Luckily, he didn't get yelled at by Brandon Marshall, but Brandon Marshall did challenge him on something that I thought Brady was going to smack him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Gresh, Keith. It's Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Bro, we lost 2 games. One of them was because Jimmy Garoppolo was being a bitch and tried to quit before us on the last, decided not to play right before the game. So we went out there. Jacoby came out and played with a up thumb and played his heart out. But Jimmy was just being a bitch about it all. And he's still being it. Like, that's why you can't win with a bitch for a quarterback, first of all. So, like, that was the whole thing with him. He didn't want to come out and, like, do anything because his agent was trying to protect his body or some shit like that, which I can't fault him for that. But, like, he should have made that decision on Thursday. Now on Sunday, you know what I'm saying?
That was Martellus Bennett talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. What's really interesting about that, Keith, is that Marty Bennett probably didn't even realize that Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo had the same agent, Don Yee. So it's an automatic conflict of interest right there in terms of who he's protecting. But that was Marty Bennett on, I don't know if that's his own podcast, Cripes Almighty, who knows anymore.
He had like the Imagination Factory or whatever. He had like a whole thing going on.
Isn't that what aired after Sesame Street?
Yep. Yeah, that was
or
his
that
show.
Was, or that was the people who created Sesame Street?
Marty Bennett, famous for leaving every team on a good note and every teammate liking him and every team liking him.
What do you make of that criticism? Because that was 2016, yeah. So it would have been, what, a year into Garoppolo's career or something like that?
Well, whatever. 2 years is when he first had a chance to start. He'd been on the league. That was his third year, I think, right? He was drafted in 14.
That was the Brady 4-game suspension year. There we go.
And we all thought Garoppolo was going to start 4 games. He ended up starting 2. They thought he was going to be able to at least play in that 4th game, and then he couldn't. And then Jacoby Brissett had to start those 2 games. But, no, I think it's incredibly important, like, what the team thinks of their own quarterback. The quarterback's the leader no matter what. They're all team captains. Like they all look up to them. And even though they don't get destroyed like they did back in the day, they still get hit at times. They still need to show some bit of toughness. So if you don't have faith in your quarterback, like, I don't know how far you could possibly go.
Yeah, it's interesting because you nailed it in the beginning. Oh, Marty Bennett never left a team clean.
I mean,
so there is the who is saying it. However, there is a lot of realism there in that the, you know, guys will form early opinions on players right away. And that was a spot for Garoppolo to kind of take over. And, well, it sort of fell. Now, what's interesting is that Garoppolo has since led a team to a Super Bowl.
Right.
They went to the NFC Championship game last year. So he has been a part of a lot of winning and even getting there. So there will be people who will scratch their, like, be like, okay, what is Bennett talking about? However, I really wonder how many people in a locker room look at guys like that, not just quarterbacks, but look at other players and judge them harshly for not playing through whatever. Like, the Logan Mankins playing through a torn ACL.
Yeah.
Like, that's otherworldly. That's like, dude, you're a wacko. That's where it almost goes too far, where you're like, you're a wacko. You have a real problem.
Because I think that's one of those, and that's why I think football, and then probably the next one down would be hockey, those sports are just so different because they're all playing through something. So if you look over and a guy is not willing to do it, or he's like, oh, I need to sit a little bit longer, and he's worried about his contract, I think guys just kind of like roll their eyes at that and say, all right, well, are you really in this or are you not? Like, are we doing this together? Are we all going to fight through and all that stuff? And you're like, nope, this guy clearly just cares more about his own stuff.
So you had to have Brissett in there. And that quote from Martellus Bennett got brought up to Julian Edelman on the I Am Athlete podcast. And I know you and Fitzy, towards the end of the 1 o'clock hour yesterday, had a little bit from this, but there was so much more to unpack from Julian Edelman, who did the whole thing, by the way, with shades on, which
Pretty
I thought
cool.
was interesting. But I couldn't tell if he was...
Is that a concussions thing?
I couldn't tell if it was more of maybe a Paul Pierce thing.
Is it
what I'm putting down?
So there's three things. When people wear sunglasses inside, it's either you're just Joe Cool.
Okay.
Right? Like Jack Nicholson, Joe Cool.
All right.
You have very bloodshot eyes for whatever you might have been doing.
Okay, there's that.
Or you have a really light sensitivity because you've been knocked in the head
concussed
too many times.
Or, yeah. Right, or you got a bad eye or something
one of those
like
three
that.
Things, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Because other than that, you know, you'd take them off.
Like, why would you?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. I had LASIK, so I know when I come in from outside, if I have my sunglasses on, I have to allow a minute for kind of like the changeover.
Right.
So you like leave them on, walk them in, but then you can take them off by then and then you're okay.
I mean, with Edelman, it could actually be all three of those things.
There's no doubt.
Could be Joe Cool.
It might be.
Could be concussed.
In his mind, it's Joe Cool.
Yeah.
In the reality is he's concussed, but he's covering it up. Yeah. And then the third one, well, who knows? Mm-hmm. But this is the Jimmy Garoppolo talk with Marty Bennett's opinion mixed in. And Edelman, he's there with Brandon Marshall. And there was one other player, might have been Jimmy Smith of the Ravens or something like that. I can't remember. But anyway, here was Edelman's reaction.
But Jacoby broke, he tore his ligaments in his thumb in the win against the week three team. And so we go into week four, and, you know, I guess, you know, Jimmy was practicing and then, you know, decided not to play. And Jacoby played with, you know, no ligaments in his thumb, which you can't do that as a quarterback. Yeah. You grip, and if it's your left, and a lot of guys got mad about it. A lot of guys got mad. I'm not gonna lie, I got mad about it. You know, I sacrificed my body all day long. I was taking shots for this, numbing up that, ribs, broken ribs, shoulders, you know, grade three, hanging on by limbs just to play, you know? And, you know, I can understand why Marty thinks like that.
You know what I need to do? On the next episode of the Dork Podcast, as Davey's talking about some show, I'll just start playing music. I'm just going to play off a little bit here. Yeah, cue the violins. Here they come. So that's odd. But, yeah, so Julian Edelman.
You'd never do that to Adam Cole.
No, God, no. He can do whatever he wants. That poor guy. He's fighting through injuries. Injuries, by
the
way.
Well, when you're a pro wrestler and you're 175 pounds, that's probably a bad deal.
You're going to get hurt. But that's his point. Where I think, again, most guys are playing through injury, and then they respect the hell out of Jacoby Brissett for playing with the torn ligaments, although they got shut out in that game, and he was useless.
Mere detail.
Whatever.
And by the way, I didn't know Jacoby Brissett had no ligaments in his thumb.
Couldn't even grip the ball.
I thought they were, like, either sprained or torn or something. It's like being born with no ACLs, right?
Because
like, He would then really...
If I'm wrong, didn't Jacoby Brissett fire a pass that was so hard at Julian Edelman in the end zone that game, and it was such a hard pass that Edelman had to go up to him after and was like, all right, I was wide open, you're 10 yards away,
probably.
Tone it down. You could do that with no ligaments in your thumb?
Well, if I remember correctly, yeah, I mean, they probably shot it up with something, but week three, they beat the Texans. They had a good game plan. Brissett, you know, wasn't very good, but he had a rushing touchdown, and then week four was the Bills, right, with Rex Ryan. I think they got shut out on
Thursday Night Football.
They got 16-0 or something like that. They kicked a bunch of field goals.
But, I mean, I think that's got to be the worst thing, even regardless of position. If other players in the locker room think you're soft, like
you're toast.
It's hard to kind of get the respect ever again.
Agreed. Because just one moment of like playing through injury doesn't save you in a situation like that. We also learned from Julian Edelman on the I Am Athlete podcast that while doing an impression of Bill Belichick telling him that he's sick of Edelman doing the impression, BB is apparently sick of Edelman doing the impression.
Give me an impression of Bill.
I just saw him recently. I went and, you know, I visited the team. And he was like, look, like, if I have to turn on the f-ing TV and see you doing me every f-ing day, like, like, what are we f-ing doing here? Like, that's what he would say to me. And I'm over here. I'm sitting on eggshell. I'm still scared of the guy. I don't even play with him. He's like the emperor or something, you know what I mean? So I walk in and I'm all, you know, hey coach, you know, it's all out of love. Look, just shut the f*** up. You
know I know what it is. It's the cuts they're putting online that they got the music on.
Is
the
that
end,
what that is?
That's what it
that's
is.
Wild.
So like where we found it's highly produced.
It is, it's nice.
They do. They like apparently, I Am Athlete has a production staff.
But now I don't think Belichick's going to have to worry too much about the Edelman impression because isn't Edelman's now like on... like a streaming service.
Edelman should do it all the time.
He should, but he's not.
Why would he be afraid of Bill? So what? Bill tells you stop effing doing it. Okay, Bill, yeah. And then turn around and do it.
Because in the season,
do you think Bill Belichick is really keeping tabs on, you know, how many times did Edelman impersonate me today and all that?
Somebody's
stuff.
Telling him. Somebody's in his ear.
Come on, Bears. Let it go. Will you please? If you're the one telling him. No, it isn't. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Plus, isn't that the real mystery? That was part of my pitch to Ndamukong Suh. People are enthralled with anything Bill Belichick because we don't know about the guy. Mm-hmm. If they ever did a reality show about Belichick, it might be the boringest thing ever, but people would watch.
They would.
Because you don't know what you're going to see.
Yeah.
Like when he had the dog. Cripes.
Oh, Nike.
Nike the dog.
That was a big deal.
Awesome dog.
Did the draft.
And you would have been, the fact that he loves dogs shows he's a human being.
It'd just be him watching a lot of, like, lacrosse games. And you'd be like,
Could you imagine that, though? Him breaking down lacrosse tape and stuff like that on the phone with his daughter.
Correct.
Hey, here's what I see kind of thing. But Julian, keep doing it. Again, it's going to make it's going to make you a ton of money. Yeah, I wonder if there's any other player that's got a good one.
A good Belichick
impression.
I haven't heard
any, really.
No,
does Nico try to do one?
Oh, I think he does. Yeah.
It's not as good as Edelman's, though.
I think Edelman's is probably better.
I'm with you on that. This is classic. So a real lack of awareness here from Brandon Marshall, who, by the way, on this very same podcast once tried to argue that NBA contracts are not guaranteed.
They are.
Yeah. John Wall got $40 million. I don't know. Brandon Marshall made $40 million in his NFL career. And by the way, that's for John Wall
probably
to leave.
Did, but yeah.
Yeah, we have to check that out. But Julian Edelman was asked if he heard about Tom Brady in high school or something. That was the real question.
I moved out into L.A. I moved out here just to be around him. And he only hit me up like twice the first year I moved out here. You know what I mean? And I dropped everything and I would go. And then, you know, then it became we were going, you know, every day. And you know, that's how it was. And so that, and then also we're both from the Bay. We grew up like 12 miles from each other. So like there was always a comfort of breaking down old hometown shit, you know, like Harry's Hofbräu or like this deli we used to go to or, you know, like so that we had to say, like there's just a whole bunch of stuff. He was always kind of like an older brother, and I watched everything he did because I wanted to witness how is this guy so goddamn good? You know, I wanted to see what he was doing. I wanted to see how he prepared. I wanted to see how he rested, how he recovered, and I wanted to try to do it.
Did you hear about Brady in high school or something? Like a man from the Bay.
Brady in high school? Yeah. When I was in eighth grade, he won his first Super Bowl. That's a crazy thing. I remember being, you know, like, and he was a Sarah kid. He went to Sarah, some school that was close to my school at Woodside. And, like, he was the underdog. And it was, you know, it was always Peyton Manning. He was the guy when that era that was, like, first pick overall. And you always had this little young tough guy, Tom Brady, early in his career that was always fighter, that always, you know, let his team down at the last minute. You know, there was some ugly shit, but then there was always, like, a heroic effort that just had a clutch gene. And, you know, that's a guy I always liked, so.
You're about the same age as Brady, right? He's like, what? No. Like, do you know how old I am? Do you know how old he is?
No idea.
Yeah,
so cool. I guess I ask this as the resident old on this show. Are we getting to the point with Tom Brady is not officially retired yet.
Well, he retired once. He came back.
But here, we're very, like, I fear as if we're getting to the, we're talking about him, his legendary status and, regale me with some stories about Tom Brady, you see?
Yeah.
Like, have we now moved into that kind of old person status where, like, you know, Rob Bradford will regale us with stories of Yaz and stuff or whatever, right?
I don't know if he does Yaz.
No, but are we getting to the point with Tom Brady to all becoming olds because it's like, oh, it's the way it used to be. Tell me the story, Julian.
Well, I mean, he's played for so long, and, like, to Edelman's point, Edelman watched Brady win a Super Bowl when he was in middle school. He then was a teammate, played a long career, and has since retired, and this guy's still playing. So I think it's more to do with who you're talking to. Like, talking to Willie McGinnis or Ty Law, you could talk about early Tom Brady and be like, oh my God, what it was. But the fact, you know, he's still very, very good. He was the runner-up in the MVP last year. So he's still adding to how insanely good and how unreachable his career is going to be for anybody else.
And I wonder if we will ever see another career like that ever again. The only thing that I could think of is, like, Gordie Howe came back to play with the Hartford Whalers. I mean, he was, like, 52 years old.
Yeah, but he was.
But he wasn't what Brady was. Brady's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league this late in his career.
I don't think we'll ever see it again, and it's for a couple reasons. Even though quarterbacks, I think, can be healthier now, and, like, guys like Russell Wilson and, you know, hell, Aaron Rodgers is old, and these guys are saying they want to play until they're 40 or 45, I wonder if some of the motivation will go away considering how much money is involved.
Yeah.
And they could say, well, I just played 12 years and I banked $300+ million. Maybe I'm done. You know, maybe I'm done. Like, I think you have to have that. All these guys are competitive, but you have to have some sort of insane drive.
There you go.
To just keep going one more year. Because most of these guys all have kids and wives and other things they can do. Hell, they can make $50 million a year. Broadcasting games, like, you can, there's other stuff you can do. So I think it might cut into it a little bit. There'll be more 40-year-old quarterbacks, but I don't know how many 45-year-old MVPs there's going to be.
Yeah, you use the word insane. You probably could have stopped there because you have to be a little like Tom Brady. There's a part of him that is insane. Unbelievably put together. Mm-hmm. He's a businessman, all that stuff. Got a great family. He's also a lunatic. Correct. There's also the left, whatever side of his brain that drives him to be what he is. He's also a nutbag as well, but a good kind of nutbag.
Yes.
And then finally, Brandon Marshall calls out Julian Edelman on the statement you're about to hear.
Who, you know, we're over at his house doing, you know, things for, you know, body work. You're doing running routes. We're doing 2-minute drills. He's over here preparing. And it's February. Like, there's no time off. Like, when you see that from your highest guys, what do you mean?
I call bullshit. You're not doing 2-minute drill in February.
I've already told you this. Yes, we have. He would get me up. When I was young, Tom would get me up to like 65, 70 routes. We would do sets of 10 down the field. He'd be going, all right, zero out slot fing ride, 134, F-bow ice, you're the F, go. Wide 80. And then I'd go out, catch it, go. I'd throw like run a 20-yard bow. And then he'd come out, all right, now we got spread right, 66, ghost 10. So then he's like, all right, you're the wide. It's 4 wide. So then I'd have to change my mindset, put myself in a different position. So he was teaching me, and he was also learning my body mechanics, and he was letting me do it while I was tired. So when I prepared for games, it became easier. When I got into camps, it was easy. And it was good for him because he was able to think. So he was using me, and I was using him. You know what I mean? But by the end of these things, I'd be like, I would be so dead and tired. It would be crazy. I'd be huffing and puffing. And we'd be at the end of a drive, and I'd have like a, they call it invert, overzing invert. He's like, all right, overzing. He'd give me the signal, invert, which is like a high 7. And he'd go, all right, holding. I'd be dead. I thought the drive was over. He'd be like, holding. Get in. We got mulch. You're the F. And so then I'd have to go there. And I like he was just always testing me.
It is pretty crazy because I think a lot of times we just watch the games, right? And you're just like, oh, these guys are just great. And you kind of forget how much work actually goes into them being this good.
Boy, they must practice well.
They must.
No, it's so much more than that all the time.
Yeah, it's just practice, you know, with the team. Like, no, you gotta put in a little bit more work to be at that level.
No doubt.
To be so ridiculous.
And you know what I also took away from that is you got Julian Edelman in there where Tom Brady is telling him to play the F, mm-hmm. and they're taking the F out of the offense.
Right.
So, like, what is it? What is that about to morph into as Brady and Edelman kind of broke it all down? But I love Brandon Marshall. Oh, it's BS. Really? I mean, Edelman's going to lie about that?
It is, but it's also like, I love Brandon Marshall. I think he had a great career, but you also wonder, is that a guy that was just so talented that he would show up, play, do really well? But if he ever got on the same page with a quarterback like Edelman and Brady, maybe his career could have been better.
He could have exploded. Yeah.
Make sure. Chris Sims never meshed.
I don't think. Yeah, he had a lot of. He was with Jay Cutler for a long time.
Plumber.
Two different places.
Didn't he hate Jay Cutler by the end of it?
I mean, probably. I don't know.
And then I know Marshall went through Tannehill, a lot of himself as well. Yeah, yeah, he's talked about his mental health issues.
Oh yeah, big time.
Did he catch the end of Pennington in Miami as well?
Probably.
Ooh, he probably did. Probably. And wasn't it with him? He hated Cutler, but connected with Orton.
Like, no, didn't he go back to Cutler in Chicago after Miami?
Yes.
I'm trying
to.
Oh,
he played
what a mess.
No, he played with Cutler in Denver and Chicago, oh, and maybe Denver. Also Miami?
I think they both hated. No, Miami was in between those two.
Got it. So I might have had an inverted.
He was there with like the Ronnie Brown year.
So he loved Cutler, maybe hated Orton. I know there were a couple quarterbacks.
They both hated McDaniels.
All right, here's the list of quarterbacks that threw a touchdown pass to Brandon Marshall.
Dear Lord.
Jay Cutler, by far and away the most, with 40. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 17. Kyle Orton, Matt Moore, Chad Henne, Josh McCown, Jason Campbell, Russell Wilson, Jake Plummer.
You play with nine different quarterbacks, yep. And there are only, minimum. What, 2.5 of those guys that are worth a damn, maybe?
Correct. And by the time he played with Wilson, he was cooked.
He was cooked, right. Well, is the general manager of the Boston Bruins cooked? He isn't because he got a contract extension, but oh boy, he got boom roasted on Twitter yesterday. We'll have some fun at Don Sweeney's expense next.
WEEI, WEEI, New England Sports Original.
Now, more of Gresh and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I'm not looking back. We're looking forward.
My job, relative to keeping it, I think I've made decisions, whether it be in my last year of my contract or where I'll be in my first year of my contract.
When I came to Detroit, there was a lot of work to do, and that's what we're trying to do.
The draft is what it is. You try and do the absolute best job you possibly can. I think that we have several players that have certainly turned into really good NHL players.
I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job.
Oh, boy, yesterday it was official, what we knew all along, that Don Sweeney was coming back as the GM of the Boston Bruins. So the contract is official, and the Bruins sent out a tweet, and that's where we begin.
Yeah, that's really where it all started. So the Boston Bruins, they took to Twitter, and we kind of knew this was going to happen, but they just tweeted out simply from their own account, at NHL Bruins, the Boston Bruins have signed general manager Don Sweeney to a multi-year contract extension.
Boom. Roasted.
Yeah, this pretty much was. They received over 1,400 comments.
Oh, my.
Much of them were like this. So, again, simply responding to the Bruins have signed GM Don Sweeney to a multi-year contract extension. Here's the response from at Pasta88Bruins.
No.
Very dramatic. Very dramatic. This one comes in from at Marky F.
Somebody kill me, please. I'm on my knees. Pretty, please. Kill me. I want to die. Put a bullet in my head.
Boom. Roasted.
That was Jake DeBrusque. Jake DF.
Pretty much.
Oh, my God.
This one comes in, again, in response to Bruins re-signing GM Don Sweeney to an extension at Blues Fan Reacts. Everyone.
Boom. Roasted. Mm-hmm.
What if Don Sweeney will roll out the thing like he did with Matt Patricia? You know, I've been pretty successful here. I've been a part of two runs.
Or remember he told Scott, he was like, is that your opinion or is that your opinion? That everything? Then the Athletic put that survey out where like 97% of Bruins fans don't trust him.
Yeah, that's
people
true.
Don't seem to be
Scott was speaking for the people that day in that press conference.
And the people have spoken yesterday on Twitter, including in reaction to Don Sweeney getting the extension at Spence Damp.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Boom, roasted.
Yep, not having it. Not having it. At Coe's.
Why? Boom, roasted.
That's right. The Bruins have re-signed GM Don Sweeney to a multi-year contract extension. This one comes in from Todd S.
In the meantime, I'm going to go in the back office and cry and cry and cry and drink for a while.
Boom. Roasted.
Fair enough.
That's what people have done here many a day.
Uh-huh. That is definitely true. This one comes in from at Brinny Bostonia.
I'm gonna kill myself!
Wow.
I'm going to kill myself, and it's your fault.
Boom, roasted.
It's a little much, but okay.
Strong. It's a
strong take. Think twice, act once.
Hopefully you're all right. Again, Dom Sweeney signed the contract extension at Sean Rajat.
Oh, no.
Boom, roasted.
Mr. Krabs.
Very similar. How about this one coming in from at @hotdog_ally?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, we don't really know.
Roasted.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
I don't know.
That was Twelman, I think. Was that Taylor Twelman?
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, and again, these were unanimous across the board. There wasn't anybody celebrating this. This is the first thing I can think of that everybody is agreeing on. Nobody wanted Don Sweeney back, including sad Celtics fan.
Oh, there we go.
Decided to weigh in on what's going on here with the Bruins.
You can't keep getting away with it. He can't keep getting away with it. Boom, roasted.
I mean, it's top to bottom. So those are just some of the audio ones that we pulled. But every single person, a lot of whys, like a lot of people just asking why. And again,
top reply I saw immediately was on purpose? ?
Yeah, yeah, right. It was a lot of that because again, this is their last tweet that they had. They tweeted it whatever it was 20 hours ago. 1,400 comments. 1,100 retweets, but that also includes people retweeting it and being like, why would you do this?
Got it.
And then 500 likes. And that is, again, likes don't equal endorsements.
I was going to say.
They might have just been saving it for later.
So even if we say a third of those people of the 500 likes are the ones that we're in.
Nobody likes this.
No, there's only one in the Twitch chat, and I think he's just trying to go Oppo.
I think he's probably going Oppo.
The Inquisitor 818 says, I will stand alone on this one. I am in favor of Sweeney staying with the Bruins, and other people have jumped in with...
No, he's not.
Yeah, do you have a volleyball made by Wilson? Talent acquisition's the problem. And then it was signing Taylor Hall, bad idea. Linus Ullmark, bad signing. It's way deeper than that. Mm-hmm. It's more the draft. Because we're about to find out isn't in the Bruins organization.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the lower levels.
Well, especially at the beginning of the year when everybody's hurt coming back off of surgery.
Oh, it's going to be the Connor Seabolts of the world. And let's see how that goes.
Letting the people speak.
There you go. Boom roasted. No one. Maybe not no one, but we're in the 99.9 percentile, not digging Don Sweeney and the job that he has done to this point. So another round of all-star voting has been released. Do the Red Sox have a perception problem, or is the issue with the all-star game? Keith and I get into that hour two next.
Oh, no.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
You can't keep getting away with this. He can't keep getting away with it!
He won't.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.